second in the series of Shi'urim on the Yud Gimel Midas of Rabbi Yishmael. And last time, last week, we began our discussion of the historical context and the historical development of the Midas. And we focused on the famous case in which Hillel comes in front of Bnei Beseira, the Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. This case is detailed both in the Gemara, in the Bavli, in the Yerushalmi, in the Tosefta. And the claim of the Meiri was that, in fact, the halach was already known. But that Hillel somehow presented a new drasha, a new way of deriving the halacha, and this is in accordance with the, at least the way several Rishonim learned the part of the Brayso of Rabbi Yishmael, that Hillel was derish 7 meters in front of Bnei Beseira. Now, what I want a little bit elaborate on some of the points that we made last week, because I think we went rather fast because I wanted to get over the Ika Havala, the Ika Chiddush. But I think it's important that we understand the text and exactly how what we're saying is in fact actually fits in, is really rooted in the text of the Gemaras. First of all, the contention of the Meiri was, in fact, the halacha was already known. And that Hillel was just coming to give a drasha, somehow justifying the halacha on the basis of the Midah. First it was a Hekesh, according to the Yerushalmi, the Tosefta, then according to the Bavli, in addition, right? And then according to the Bavli, the Kal Vachomer and the Zevar Shavah, which the Tosefta Yerushalmi also say. But what is the meaning that, in fact, Hillel was coming to give a drasha, to give an underlying logical basis, an exegesis, for something which really was a custom, a tradition in Klal Yisrael? I mean, certainly, as the Meiri points out, as we saw even the Chavis Yoyah, I mean, 7 years doesn't go by without twice that Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. It can't be that this halacha was a new halacha that was discovered at this time. The fact is that the Meir's contention is very, very much based in the text too. For example, the Lashon, there are actually two questions that I asked from Hillel. One question is actually what that question Hillel addressed. Number one was, can you bring a korban for Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? In other words, is Pesach Deicha Shabbos? And the second question that was asked was, that how did they bring the sakin, the knife, to slaughter the korban Pesach? I mean, You're carrying from one rishus to another rishus. You're carrying from a rishus harabin to a rishus hayotin. That constitutes from a public domain to a private domain. How did they bring the sakin? How did they bring the knife? Right? And now what's interesting is that in the Tosefta, right, in the Tosefta, in other words, from the Bavli, from the actually Tosefta Ushami too, you would think that perhaps the discussion was taking place, let's say, the day before Erev Pesach. For example, on Yud Gimel Nisan, they started discussing, can tomorrow they bring the... can they bring a korban Pesach on Shabbos? But in the Tosefta, the Tosefta says, right, the Lashon Tosefta is, when I ask about the knife, I'm quoting from the Tosefta and Pesachim, this is Perek Dalet, the fourth Perek, Halach Yud Aleph, Omulai, they said to Hillel, they asked Hillel, Ma Yehe Ala'am, what's going to be with the nation? Shaloi Yeviu Sakinen, Upsachin LaMikdash, they didn't bring the Sakin, I guess, to with the Pesach, the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, they didn't already bring. From the Tosefta, it's clear the discussion is going on. In other words, it's going on Erev Pesach, on Erev Pesach itself. In other words, they didn't bring the Sakin. They didn't bring the Sakin. So what are they going to do? How are they going to shake the Korban Pesach? Meaning that what? That the whole discussion was really post-factum. In other words, if you really have a question, you ask the question the day before Erev Pesach. You give them a Nissa. So for the Tosefta, and also the same Lashon as in the Yerushalmi, the whole discussion was post-factum. They'd already brought the Kabbalists, the sacrifices. And it just the question was, how did they bring the Sakin? So they looked and saw that they had taken the knives and they stuck them into the wool of the animal. So Hillel says, oh, now I remember the Halacha and learn from Shmaya Yavtalia. So this is one proof that the entire discussion was post-factum, meaning that it wasn't they would come to decide the Halacha, you know, at this point in history, but rather... it was a fait accompli. It was clear that the Pesach is Deicha Shabbos. It was clear that there must be some way of bringing the Sakin into the Beis HaMikdash. The question was, after, you know, post facto, you know, after everything is already taken place. Now, in the evidence, Pastor Aaron, you could say, no, it wasn't lying reason. But actually, in the dialogue of the Bavli too, also the Rishonim, we'll focus on the Bavli too, it's also clear that there are gemazim, there are allusions to the fact that this was Allah was already known. For example, right, they ask, Hillel comes, right, Shishimish Negedari Ador, Shemayim Yavtalion, and they said on Hillel that he knows where the Pesach is Dei Hashamas. So it says the Bavli, the Kaulai, they called him. Do you know if the Pesach is Decha Shabbos or not? Meaning, do you know if you can you shecht a korban? Can you slaughter a korban Pesach, right? A Paschal lamb. Can you sacrifice it on Shabbos when the Passover Eve falls on the Shabbos? Amalem. So he said to him, "V'chi Pesach echad yesh lo b'shalosh Decha Shabbos? Is it one korban Pesach Decha Shabbos?" There's 200 psachim on Decha Shabbos. Right? So he said, how do you know? What do you mean, how do you know? He's already said there's 200 psachim on Decha Shabbos. Well, 200 psachim. So Rashi explains that in fact, actually, every Shabbos you bring four kabbanos. So it's already more than four times 50. And actually, that the Kabbalists too, whatever it is, certainly you get 500. In other words, what is Hillel saying? We already have a Messiah. We already have a tradition. We already know that Pesach is Decha Shabbos, because we know that what? That every Shabbos we bring, a korban. Except that what? What's the libud? Now, the fact is, I mean, he's speaking about being Decha Shabbos of a korban. What about a korban Pesach? So we noted last week that that what Hillel had as a Messiah was the Hekesh, was the equation. This is a further raya from the Bavli, that the Hekesh was not something that came up at that time. The Hekesh was a Messiah that he already had. In other words, if he says that there are 200 Pesach on the Dirk of Shabbos, it must be that intrinsically he's equating Pesach with any Korban that he puts on Shabbos, or with a Tamid. So, he says, you already have a Messiah, a tradition of a Hekesh. So that's clear from the Gemara. So that's the second proof that in fact Allah was already known. The Hekesh was already known. Now, it's interesting. He says, it's very interesting. He begins, being doyish there, but he says, they say on Hillel that Shishimesh Shnei Gedeli Ador. He's Bishamesh Tu Gedeli Ador. And also too, when he starts, he was doyish Kalayim, he was explicate him or involved in exegesis the entire day. And then he started giving the Musa, he says, right, what caused that I should become the Nasi of your Nasi, your leader? Atzlus, that you were lazy. Sha'izabachem, you were lazy. Shalom shimashtim shnegedeliyadur. You were more mishamish shnegedeliyadur. What is Lashon of shamish? Because later on, what in fact actually the issue comes up, how to bring the knife on Shabbos. So, Hillel says, "Kach mekublani mishmaya v'yavtalion." In other words, we see that the Gemara uses two different terms. One term is mishamish, right? Mishamish, and one is mekublani. So, what does these terms mean? So, the fact is that the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Brachos that Ben Zayin Beis, and the Gemara brings, I think, it's b'shem Acherim, that kol tamal chacham, any tamal chacham. And Rashi learns what does Mishamish mean? It means Svara. Shimish means Svara. Rashi says, Kena Gemara Shalam. Svara. In other words, we have Kala, that's Tosha Mitzav. Shana is Tosha Biapa, that's repeating over. Right? At the time of the Gemara, of course, there was nothing written down. I read the Chasimus Hashar Shiram on this internet site. And then we have Shimish. So what is Shimish? Shimish is Svara. So in the halachas that involve the Gezeirah Shavah, Hillel was Bishamish, Maya Biavtalion. What is Shimish? A Hekish is a Svara. So that's what he says. He was Bishamish, Maya Biavtalion, and therefore what does he produce? He produces a Gezeirah Shavah, which we learn is really based upon a Hekish. And then he produces a Kabbal Chayim, which is also a Svara. Adam Dan Kabbal Chayim, Liatzma. However, when they bring the knives in, there's no svara there. There's no svara to bring a knife, and it's what's called a patent, it's a kunz. It's a device. So therefore, he says, kach bekublani. Bekublani. Now it's very interesting, what is kach bekublani? What Kabbalah that he has? That's what he says, lo maisa v'niska halacha. It's interesting, lashon is niska halacha. Halacha usually means a didactic, in other words, a halacha usually doesn't mean a svara. For example, halacha usually means a simply, like halacha mash b'sini, a simply said halacha. This guy halacha. For Amma kabu kublani b'shmar v'yavtalyan, that's it. Now what does he mean by that? Kabu kublani, have a kabbalah b'shmar v'yavtalyan. Wait, he forgot something, he remembers it. Later on, the Gemara goes on in detail and speaks about, this. And then it says, the Kama, he said to him, halacha zu shamati v'shachachti. This halacha I heard and I forgot. Im nov, right? So the Gemara says here in some of the Vavu Bebeis, let me see. Halacha zu shamati v'shachachti. Elahinicha land the Yisrael. Let the Jewish people do what they want to do. Em ain't the Viyim hen, b'nei the Viyim hen. If they're not the Viyim, then b'nei the Viyim hen. Okay? Now, what's interesting, here he says, halacha zu shamati v'shachachti. I forgot the halacha. But let the Jewish people what they want to do. Why? Em ain't the Viyim hen, b'nei the Viyim hen. The same lashon also appears in the Tosefta. The Tosefta says, they asked Hillel what's going to be, had to bring the knives. Amar lahem, hinich lahem, ruach hakodesh, right? This is Perek Dalet, halacha yud aleph. Hinich lahem, ruach hakodesh alehem, they have ruach hakodesh, right? And made the v'yemen b'nei the v'yemen. And this is what they did. So, what is over here, the Gemara say, when it says, right? Halacha zu shamati v'shachachti, and then ra ma'isa v'niska halacha. You remember the halacha, but Amar he says kach b'kublanim b'pishmai v'yavtalyan. What do you mean? In other words, what do you mean? You forgot the halacha. You could learn simply is that you forgot the shmai v'yavtalyan. Also thought of this way of bringing the knife in. I would say, but what's interesting is that in other words, in Tosefta and Amud Beis, the Gemara doesn't make any mention, you know, oh, now I remember, you know, Niska Halacha Kach B'Kublan Yishra V'Yavtalyan. Now, it could possibly be that the Halacha he's speaking about is the minute. See what the Jewish people do. In other words, when he says Kach B'Kublan Yishra V'Yavtalyan means, let the Jewish people work it out. It may be a minute of it. In other words, what do we see? We see an interesting thing here. What we see is that he had two Mesavas, two types of traditions, which were Italian. One tradition he had was Svara, Hekesh, that's Shishimish. Another thing is, he knew from Shavi Italian, like certain things, you can't figure out what to do, but you let the people do it. In other words, let the people work it out. It made a Nevi'im, but ain't a Nevi'im. Like we see, for example, the Gemara in Sukkah speaks about a Rava, right? On a Rava, the Gemara says, Minik Nevi'im, as opposed to Takanas Nevi'im. Meaning that, in other words, he had a Kabbalah Shmar Yavtalya that worked, is that, in fact, he's supposed to let the people do what they want to do, and that establishes the way in which they bring the knife to it. But in any case, what do we see? What do we see from these two? We see from these things that clearly the Gemara is indicating that Hillel wasn't coming to tell B'nai B'Sechah any type of new halacha. Clearly, they were well aware of the halacha and of the tradition of Klal Yisrael. So, my only point that I wanted to make here is that when the Meiri is saying that they knew the halacha and that's what's producing the drasha, is not a point over here is that it's you know, he's not coming, you know, to somehow defend or, you know, it's not apologetics. But the entire sugya, it's evident the entire sugya that Hillel is not coming to create a new halacha, but rather he's coming to give a background or a what you would see a exegetical basis to that which was already known. Okay, that's I think the important thing I was thinking about. Yeah.
The Meiri is the only Rishon who says this explanation.
There are other Rishonim that actually raise the question. So really, the Meiri says it, but there were no other Rishonim that asked the question.
No one says differently.
Yeah, however, what it is true that what I read last week was in the Chavis Yoyah, I just couldn't believe
right,
it. He
right.
Lives like a Tzarki and Gadol.
But he didn't have the Meiri.
Right, he didn't have the Meiri.
None of the Rishonim talk about
it? No, none of the Rishonim talk about it. But I think the Meiri, but I think, what I want to say is, you know, I always like to say, you know, don't base your faith, you know, on one opinion. But the fact is, I think what the Meiri is saying is rather evident in the Sugya. You know, I think we can...
He's not a Dasyach,
in other words, not that we can't rely upon the Meiri, but what you're saying is, that what the Meiri is saying is that a tremendous, new, novel interpretation of the Sugya. The entire Sugya, right, is very clearly, right, coming to tell us that Hillel was not coming to inaugurate a new type of halacha, but rather was coming to base a previously existent halacha, right, upon the Midah of either Kavul Chomer or Gezer HaShava. Okay, now, I want to go to the second point, which I mentioned last time, which I think is point, is that, as I've actually indicated over here, is that Shmaya B'Avtalion certainly had taught Hillel, or maybe before Shmaya B'Avtalion, had taught Hillel a Hekesh. It was the Hekesh existed. From the Hekesh came the Gzeres Shava. In other words, that's the meaning of the Braisa. Hillel was Derish, Sheva Midas from the Bnei Naseva. One was Gzeres Shava. What was it for the Hekesh? How do they know the Halacha for the Hekesh? Because they knew the Gzeres Shava because they physically had a Hekesh. So Gzeres Shava represents a step, right, beyond that of a Hekesh. Now, I alluded to a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis on Dalam on Aleph, and I want to go to that Gemara in detail because I think the Gemara will tell us some very interesting things about not only the relationship between Hekesh and Gzeres Shava, but actually the temporal relationship, the basis of the Gzeres Shava, which is the Hekesh, and how the Gzeres Shava, in a sense, goes beyond or is much more powerful than that of the Hekesh. Yeah.
Just Shemayah Avtalion taught Hillel the Hekesh, but Bnei Bezerra also had the same Hekesh.
Right. So that's
everyone,
that,
everyone,
yeah, right, yeah. That's what I want to claim, that Bnei Bezerra didn't answer on the Hekesh. They knew it.
Right.
They knew it. And that's what is the period of the Bavli. The Bavli didn't deal with it. Because the Chiddush of Hillel from Bnei Bezerra was the Gzeres Shava and the Kavul Chomer. That's why, that's how I spoke about last week, that the Bavli didn't bring the Hekesh. Everybody knew the Hekesh. What they wanted to hear was, what do you have to what new do you have? So what did he have new? He had a Gzeres Shava and a Kavul Chomer. Okay? Now, the Gemara in Lamed Gimel and Beis in Rosh Hashanah, once again, wants to derive how many blasts do we make with the Shefa on Rosh Hashanah?
Which page?
It's Lamed Gimel and Beis, 33b and 34a. And then the Gemara, the Mishnah says that on Rosh Hashanah we make, in other words, there are two types of blasts. There's a straight blast, which is called a pshuta, and there's a broken blast, which is called a tor. And what we do is one set is called a tekiah, tor tekiah, right? All of you who go to Shul Rosh Hashanah will notice that there's a simple blast, a broken blast, a simple blast. There are two types of tuah. Tuah is used in a general sense. There's a tuah, specifically a tuah, and a shvarim is a shvarim tuah. But the Gemara is trying to derive that how do we know that on Rosh Hashanah we actually make three sets, and each set is of three types of blast. In other words, three, a tekiah, true tekiah, tekiah, true tekiah, tekiah, true tekiah. The Gemara is trying to derive them, because that's the Mishnah. Mishnah says, say the tekiah shalosh shalosh shalosh. Okay, so now the Gemara brings up Raisa, and the Gemara begins with a Hekesh. Tana Rabbanan. Now, what's interesting is that in fact, the word Tua doesn't even appear three times in Rosh Hashanah. I mean, Tua appears in a lot of the Torah speaks about Tua also in Vayoiva. So the Gemara says, "Tano, minayin shebishayfa." How do we know But how do you know it's a shayfa? It's true. I didn't know it was a shayfa. So the Gemara brings to the pasuk in Vayikra, Vavav to shayfa Torah. Okay, and this is speaking about a Yom Kippur. Yovel. Vavav to shayfa Torah b'chodesh hashvi b'ezor l'chodesh b'yom haKippurim tavir shem b'kol arzcha. Okay. So Gemara says any other but Yovel. Okay, but that's choosing about Yovel. We think about Rosh Hashanah because Rosh Hashanah minayim. So it says, "Tabud loy b'chodesh hashvi." She ain't talking about chodesh hashvi. Why is it chodesh hashvi? But you call it tush chodesh hashvi zekazer. No words. All the Torah. This is a Torah, also too, in Rosh Hashanah. So we want to, but it says, you know, it says with a shayfa, the Torah. It says that it's with a shayfa on Yom Kippur of Yovel. So basically, they should all be equal. Even the Gemara says, even though the Gemara says Mechadesh Hashvi, really the fact is they should all be equal because the Gemara is going to call this a Hekesh. Because we're equating them. Ubinayin Shepshut Lefaneh. So the Gemara says, how do you know it's a Pshut Lefaneh? Now, how do you know you blow a simple blast before that? So the Gemara says, Havat to Shaifa Torah. And I know Pshut answer. Really, was a Tavil Shaifa. In other words, basically, the Din of Pshuta is learned from the Pasuk with Yovel. And then the Gemara makes a Hekesh to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, now the Gemara says, B'nai Shalosh Hashalosh Shalosh. Oh, very good. So that sounds like this. So in other words, what we get is that we know on a Yom Kippur, on Yovel, we blow a Pshuta, a Torah, and a Pshuta with a Shaifa. And we know that on Rosh Hashanah, you also do that too. Now the Gemara says, B'nai Shalosh Hashalosh Shalosh. But how do you know that on Rosh Hashanah, you blow three of these sets? Because it doesn't say true two times. It only says true two times in Rosh Hashanah and once in Yovel. So it says, so the Gemara says, brings the Pesukim, Bavat Shaifa, da da da, the three Pesukim. In other words, there are two in Rosh Hashanah and Yovel. Talmud Laima Shvi Shvi L'Gzeva Shavah. That's why it's L'Gzeva Shavah. In other words, since it's a Shvi and Shvi in both cases, so therefore, what we do is since there's a total. In other words, the Gemara says, "Minayli tenes ha'omu shozeh bazeh, b'shozeh bazeh." How do we know to take, like, to mix it all up? Everything's equal. So it becomes one text. It's all Rosh Hashanah, all Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, "Shvi shvi l'gzeh v'shavah." Now the Gemara has a question. So very good. So it's going, "Now you have a gzeh v'shavah." So he went to Hekesh. Tana miyad, you call him yes, look at the Hekesh. First you derive him with the Hekesh. And now you begin to say Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kama, ilam zeh Rosh Hashanah. I would bring it with the Hekesh. Now I'm zeh Rosh Hashanah. I don't need the Hekesh. Doesn't mean I don't need the Hekesh." So clearly, now from the postures of the Gemara, I'm saying this with great humility because the Rosh is learning, but the Info learns clearly is that what's going on is the following thing: the Hekesh only tells me that both are with the Shaifa, and both have a Pasha before them, a Pshuta afterwards. It was the Hekesh equates them. But how do you know to take the Pesukim and mix them up? How do you know to take the Pasuk in Yovel and put it by Rosh Hashanah, and the Pasuk of Hashanah put it by Yovel? That's what the Rosh Hashanah tells you. And that's what the Ritva says. Right? In other words, the Ritva says, right? In other words, the Ritva says the Gzeira Shava tells me that Rosh Hashanah gets three of three. So the Ritva has a question. Why can't you do it to a Hekesh? It's smaller. Right? It was based on a Gzeira Shava, which the Ritva says you did a Messiah. But a Hekesh on a Messiah. Right? Alavadim Shabdalu Asa Kulu Minak in the village. In other words, you can't learn one from the other. Meaning what? What I understand for the good for is, right? A Hekesh can only equate things. But a Hekesh can't tell me to take the one Pasuk in Yovel, Yom Kippur, and put it into Rosh Hashanah. That it can't tell me. A Hekesh is only a logical equation. So, what we have is the Hekesh, right? Now, right? things. It's an equation. The Gzeira Shava is more powerful. Because once I have the equation, the Gzeira Shava picks out two words that are equal, that are the same. And then the Gzeira Shava, you know what? Everything becomes interchanged. With the Hekesh, I can't possibly get three of three in Rosh Hashanah. It's only not three of three in Yovel Tov. Now, what's interesting is, Rashi doesn't learn like this. Rashi learns that the Hekesh is telling me the same thing as the Gzeira Shava. Because even though in the Gemara, it seems pretty clear that when the Gemara comes to Litana Mobazeh Mobazeh, that the Gemara says Shvi Shvi, but Rashi, look at the Rashi, it's a little different. The Rashi learns that the thing I get from the Hekesh, I get from the Gzeira Shava.
It was already assumed that there was a Gzeira
Shava? Ah, very, very good. It was a Hekesh and a Gzeira Shava. What's interesting is that I notice over here, is that Rashi says, he loved Gzeira Shava. He loved Nehme Gzeira Shava Shul Moshe B'Sinai. Ha'yisi v'viyah kol be'ekesh, kloima me'atzmoy. I read Hekesh me'atzmoy. In other words, if I didn't have it, from Moshe B'Sinai, I'd bring a Hekesh me'atzmoy. So, Reb Kiveyu, Nuriyah Roshas, okay, he's not going to miss this. He's a great Nuriyah Roshas. He says, Ayin Rashi in Sukkah. In Sukkah, Rashi says, a Hekesh is a Lach HaMosh B'Sinai. In other words, that's okay. Rashi says, and Kiva Egel says, Tzorachiyun. Rashi says, in Sukkah, Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, it says a Hekesh. The Gemara learns. How do we know? It says by Priyat Hadar, by Esri, it has to be Hadar. How do you know the other minim have to be Hadar too? So the Gemara, in fact, learns a Hekesh. And Rashi says explicitly, right, is that the Hekesh, right, lo hukshu l'moizem izeli tam duosh b'atzmo b'lagim eshav teilu tesh ela kavu choyim. In other words, it's halacha lo shem yisina. So kiveigel is b'tarachiyah. In Sukkah, Rashi says the Hekesh that tells me that all the midim have to be Hadar is Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, right? Laman Aleph Bet Aleph. And Rosh Hashanah, Rashi says Me'atzmai. So, based upon the Shia, I want to claim that there's no real stick of Rashi. Because in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara is speaking about a Hekesh, which is the basis of Gzeira Shava. In other words, every Gzeira Shava is preceded by a Hekesh. Why is there a Hekesh in a Gzeira Shava? In other words, the Gzeira Shava doesn't begin with two words. The Gzeira Shava begins with a Hekesh, with a Svar. And then comes the Gzeira Shava. One second. I know what your question is. Your question is, but why does the same halacha with the Gzeira Shava? I know what your question is, according to Rashi. We'll get to that in 1 second. That's your question?
No, actually, I have another question. If Gzeira Shava seems to be a Kabbalah,
but we learned it's a Kabbalah because it's based upon a Hekesh. But that's what we understood. That's what I say. Like this. In other words, in Rosh Hashanah, Rashi is speaking about the Hekesh, which serves as a Svara for what? For the Gzeira Shava.
But he's going on when it's when the Gemara says that if I didn't have the Gzeira Shava, I'd use the Hekesh.
I understand it. What is Rashi learning? That before I had the terminology for it, before I had the formal Gzeira Shava, I had the Hekesh. Now I have the Gzeira Shava. So what I had before the Gzeira Shava, I had a Svara. In other words, when I speak about the pre-Gzeira Shava, Rashi agrees with me. I agree with you. I'm a Chavit to Rashi. In other words, the pre-Gzeira Shava law is derived from a Hekesh. Rashi agrees with that. But the fact is that sometimes in Chazal we see a Hekesh. In other words, it doesn't mean that we did away with the Hekesh. There's another type of Hekesh that appears in Chazal. And that's not a pre-Gzeira Shava Svara. That's a what? That's a meaning in and of itself. And that's what's going on in Sukkah in Lamed Aleph Bet Aleph. In other words, here, Rashi says, of course, Hekesh I learned by myself. Because it's the base of the Gzeira Shava. But the Hekesh that Rashi speaks about in Sukkah is a different limud. It's not the basis of another meter. Rashi claims that it's mashma the Rashi there, that since the two things appear in the same pasuk, we're being makish them, we're equating them. So it's not as far as he's speaking about there. That's his halacha mishpisina. In any case, there's no tzarach again from there, because here we're speaking about the pre-gzera shava, which is a logical hekesh, which serves the base of the gzera shava.
There's something somewhat disturbing. Gzera shava, I thought, is something you can only infer rough.
Let's not use accolades or things.
No?
What it means I learned it from my Rav. Yeah. Let's go. I learned about this from my Rebbe. We have to repeat the shit from last week. What I learned from my Rav is, when Hillel says, Kach v'kublani, what does he mean? He means, I have the logical equation of the Hekesh from my Rebbe's. That's what I learned from my Rav. What I learned from my Rav was the Hekesh. The Hekesh develops into a Gzeira Shavu. There was the Gzeira Shavu rests upon the Hekesh. The Gzeira Shavu rests upon the logical, conceptual equation of these two things.
But we seem to contrast a Hekesh to a Gzeira Shavu by saying that a Hekesh could be learned out by anybody. A Talmud could invent.
No. We didn't say that.
No.
We said no. That's what I said. Once again, what I said is that in Sukkah, I have a Hekesh
that's
my Rebbe. That's what was a Shamish Shmaya Mi'Aftalya.
That's the answer.
When Rashi says Mi'atzva, he just means, Mi'atzva means it comes from Sfar.
So Hekesh is
not... No, but the Hekesh is my Rebbe, right, who I had Shilush with, told me that these two matters are equal. These two matters are equal. That's the Svala. That's the Hekesh. From the Hekesh comes the Gzera Shavu. Now, according to the Ritfor, what do I gain by the Gzera Shavu? Because by equating the two words, I now have a more powerful technique. I can... Noises on bazet, bazet. In other words, I can do is I can actually take all three and not only equate them, but make them identical. This equation is identity.
So, hear
what I'm saying, okay? So, in other words, that's what Rashi means. Now, what the Ritfor is saying is, so why would I want to go to a Gzeira Shavu? The answer is, the Gzeira Shavu is much more powerful than the Hekesh. A Hekesh is only a logical equation. A Gzeira Shavu, which is based upon a logical equation, which has to come off my Rebbe, because my Rebbe is bigger, only he can think of that, only he has Das Torah to equate things. But once he's done the thinking, then I can actually formalize it. It means I make a Gzeira Shavu, and a basic Gzeira Shavu, I can use a much more powerful technique. And that's exactly what's going on over here.
And both of these things are halacha moshe.
Once again,
no?
you're throwing it out of the round. What's it like this? What's called the Gzeira Shavu is halacha moshe b'sina, but why is it halacha moshe b'sina? It's not that the Gzeira Shavu was passed on from Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what I'm claiming. The Gzeira Shavu was a Hekesh, which I have as a tradition, because I have it for the previous generation. That's called halacha moshe b'sina. This, right, is formalized in the generation of Hillel into a Gzeira Shavu. Okay? That's what I'm saying. Now, so in other words, we have this clearly in this Gemara, Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, clearly Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Fine. Okay?
According to Rashi, we have two different types of Hekesh.
Okay, now like this. Now, yeah, in other words, you have to say, the Hekesh we're speaking about here is a pre-Gzera Shavu. The Hekesh that I'm speaking there is not a pre-Gzera Shavu. So, in other words, here Rashi says, Mi'atzmai, because the basis of the Gzeira Shavu is the Hekesh. Now, what are the Hekesh basis of the Gzeira Shavu? So, Yerushalmi says very clearly here. Because if I just take 20 words, two words, and equate things, and what? A sharis come on top of my oil, Yerushalmi says, which is not true. So, the basis of the Gzeira Shavu has to be the Hekesh. Everything has to be logical. If things are not logical, there's no control. But once I have the logical equation between two things, then I can invoke the formalism, the model of Gzeira Shavu, and this is according to the Ritfor, I can use the powerful tool of making them identical. And that's how I derive the halacha. Okay? Yeah.
The logical equation is not necessarily based upon our logic, but rather an accepted tradition of...
Right. In other words, it's a tradition which means my rabbis, who was on Mishamesh, they established this Hekesh. And that's really the guys that I was speaking about last week. Now, it's interesting that there is a machlokes, a dispute, how to read the Gemara Rashi between Rashi and the Ritfor. In other words, according to the Ritfor, the Hekesh doesn't give me three sets of Rosh Hashanah. Because a Hekesh only equates things. It doesn't make things identical. A Hekesh means X equals Y. The Gezeirah Shabbos says X equals X, or 2X. Wait. Just, okay? Now, however, Rashi, is learning not like the Gezeirah. Rashi's learning that the Hekesh actually gets me the 3, the X equals X. That's what the Hekesh gets me. X equals X. Now, of course, you know, Katanti, Milachriya, Ben Arishainim, but what I want to claim is that from the two Rishonim, we get two principles which happen to be true. In other words, I could say like this. In other words, by the way, and Derech Agav, in other words, Rashi is a person who's makish ma'atzvah. I mean, how would you figure out that you do? In other words, to saying that in Rosh Hashanah you have 3, it's not a logical equation. Why would a person learn that as a logical thing? According to Rashi, but that's what Rashi learned to the Gemara. So according to the Ritva, the Gezeirah Shavah produces Chidush Halachas. But according to Rashi? So you could say like the Kodesh Rashi. You could say according to Rashi, and according to Rashi, you could say, in fact, actually, the following thing. You could say is that the principle we get in Rashi is, of course, Rashi agrees with the Ritva that every Hekesh is every Gezeirah Shavah is preceded by a Hekesh. Okay? So I want to say there's two answers. One answer is that you could say that even though a Hekesh means I equate two things, but you could say like this, you could say in the Rashi, right, is that what am I equating? A Hekesh doesn't necessarily mean that, in other words, I'm equating the two things. The Kupas V, I'm equating, you know, two psukim. In other words, in Rosh Hashanah, it says Tua twice. And each time it says Tua, I'm making a logical Hekesh with the Tua that it says where, the Tua that it says in Banyan Kippur. So what happens is that, in other words, I'm being, you know, in each Pasuk, I'm making a Hekesh. And so I makish one Torah with the Torah, one Torah in Rosh Hashanah with the Torah of Yom Kippur. I makish the other Torah with the Torah of Yom Kippur. So you get two sets in Rosh Hashanah, and you get one set in Yom Kippur. That's not good. They're not equal. They should both be equal. So because, what do? I can't be Gereya, one of the sets in Rosh Hashanah. So what I do is I make 3 in each one. In other words, according to Rashi, you can say that Rashi is making what's called a textual Hekesh. And the Ritva understands that what I'm making is a conceptual Hekesh of the two halachas. In other words, you could say that that's why Rashi learns a Hekesh. But be that as it may, we get over here from this important insight. Now, we have, in any case, established very, very clearly that a Gezeirah Shavah is preceded by a Hekesh. And this is really what the Gemara says, in my opinion, exclusively in Rosh Hashanah, and that's what's implied that the sugya is in Pesachim. And this is what it means to say, I'm a Kabbalah. What's I'm a Kabbalah? I don't make up two words in each one and equate them. Then you can go haywire. But rather, my equation is based upon a svara. But my svara I have for the previous generation. Already, when I have an equation that comes from the pre-paradigm, that's called halacha l'moshe b'sina. That's called halacha b'sina. That's as far back as I go. I go back to my Rebbe. My Rebbe told me to equate them, that's what I did. On the basis of this equation, I create a formalism, which is the Gezeirah Shavah. Okay? That's called learning it from my Rebbe. Okay? Derech Agav, the lashon of halacha l'moshe b'sina never appears in the Gemara with respect to Gezeirah Shavah. And the Gzera Shava, the Gemara says, I learned it from my Rebbe. Or Ein Adam Don Gzera Shava Miatzmai. The notion of Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai never appears in the Gemara. Rashi Yudusim, Shabbat Yudusim. What I'm saying is, shows that in the Gemara, I learned it from my Rebbe. In other words, the Gemara, the Mishnah could understand what's called Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. That means something that I learned from a previous generation. And we just traveled back. It must be from Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, but the Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai doesn't appear in the Gemara. What appears in the Gemara is, I didn't learn. I learned it from my Rebbe. Okay, fine. Now, besides the more powerful formalism that we have here, we have a very interesting thing here too. And what did Hillel introduce? You see, a hekesh, in a certain sense, is intuitive. It's a svara, but it's intuitive. There's no formal hekesh. You know, the hekesh means I decide these two things should be equal. I decided the blast of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur should be equal. You call Ruach HaKodesh. Whatever you want to call it, but it's intuitive. Gzeira Shava is formal. It's formal. Which means, once I have a formal model, we have a common language. That's how we can have a debate about Gzeira Shava. If you need one extra word, mufnef, mishnanecha, shteitza, we learn about this. In other words, once I have a formal model, I can have a what? A masamata, a give and take. On a hekesh, it's hard to have a give and take. And even makish or not makish. But in other words, that I have to leave for my rabbis. With the formal model, so I can have a discussion with you. And you should know something, that's really a big part here in Gemara Pesachim. Once Hillel makes the midas, then B'nai B'Sir is not arguing with him. Before that, there's no argument. It's a little bit similar to the Gemara in Chav Ches, in Brachos, is that when they opened up the base of Medrash, or already said, and someone, they start arguing, Rav Gamliel, Rav Yeshua. Before that, everyone had his own Masada. After that, they opened the base of Medrash, then already, you can bring ideas. Here too, in other words, the aside of Hillel, not only the Maila is that we have a more powerful technique, but also, too, we have a basis of a masamata, a give and take, a dialectic, an halacha. Now, what's interesting is that, let me give more on Shabbos. What's interesting is that this notion of Hillel having introduced the concept of commensurable debate in halacha is actually, my opinion, what's behind the famous Gemaras and Shabbos of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Okay? For example, right? Let's look at each of the ma'aseh. Tanya Rabbana. The Gemara says, right? Ma'aseh b'dochi echad shabalot le'shabayim. Amalai kaba tosh yishchad. How many tosh do you have? Amalai b'shtayim tosh yishchad tosh yishchad. We have two. Chsab tosh yishchad. I believe you have a Torah Shavasav, a written law. I don't believe you have a Torah Shavasav. This is a famous Agadat in Shabbos. Everyone knows the Agadat. I'm an Alpha and Alpha in Shabbos. Giraydu Abrashit Lamdei Ni Torah Shavasav. Right? Teach me, on the back, with the condition that you teach me the Torah Shavasav. God boy, basically, Shabbos, like, threw him out. Okay? Vafa Hillel. Hillel's Begayim. Right? Okay? So, Amalei, right? So, and the next day he said, you see that you were summing me on this? You'll be summing this an al-Bekta. What does it mean? Hillel found that you could reach people through reasoning. You could reach people through reasoning. In other words, the mice in Shabbos, right? 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 The Mice in Shabbos, who says that Hillel says, you see, you believe me yesterday? You believe me there too. In other words, Hillel was very liberal, flexible. No, he believed in the power of persuasion. How did the Gemara get that Hillel believed in the power of persuasion? Because Hillel was the person who created these midas. The midas are the models of commensurability. scholar exchange between Talmidei Chachamim. The Gemara brings another raya, right? Shu Bais Menachri, he came in front of Shammai. He says, teach me that you'll teach me the Torah, Aragalachas. He threw him away. And Hillel, you know, said, I'll give you a cloud. The rest you can learn. I'm going to let you learn. Once again, Hillel, no problems. Hillel was sure, confident of the fact that the Torah can be learned. And finally, the Maisa, right? There's another Maisa, et cetera, et cetera. Gairene, that you make me a Kohen Gadol. And then Hillel brought up an argument. What are these three Maisa telling me? What did you mean? It was a nice God? Shammai wasn't a nice God? What are they telling me? That's not telling you that. What they're telling me this is that Hillel, I claim his Maisa, his acts are going on the Midas of Hillel. Hillel created Midas. So now the Torah can be computed rationally. I have a model, I have an equation, I have a rule, I know how to use the rule, we all agree to the rule, there are certain logical steps. Hillel created formal logical steps, which not only allow me tremendous technique in generating halachas, but what do? They allow for commensurable scholarly exchange between two people. These three acts that have brought the Gemara and Shabbos are in fact reflections of Hillel's shita. That in fact, what? There's no impediment to the true person turning. That's how I live with three mice.
I mean, these stories don't rely on any of the meters in any way.
No, but it's not important. It relies upon
on the logic, on the power of persuasion.
Right, in other words, Hillel is the power of persuasion. Hillel relies upon the power of persuasion.
But Rishonis is claiming that Shammai would argue that these things are logical.
By the way, the Bnei B'Seir were Talmidim of Shammai.
But Hillel, Shammai would say that you can't persuade somebody of something?
You can't. You have to accept it as a Kabbalah and that's it. At least Shammai.
Judaism is not logical.
It's actually not. Judaism requires authority. For example, the Gemara, in other words, Judaism requires authority. You have to accept. Tosh stop, Tosh b'yapeh. I can't teach the Torah on one foot. In other words, I'm not sure that you'll accept my arguments.
We don't know who Shammai's rabbis were, do we? Or Shammai and Italian like
it. Whatever it is, what I'm saying is that all I want to claim is that the, in other words, what are these stories coming to tell me? Well, all three stories have one thing in common: the power of logical persuasion. How would the Gemara? I mean, these are mindset, but how would the Gemara? From where do we see that Hillel has the power? I mean, maybe not a Messiah, he was a nice guy, right? But I think more than that, I think a Tana Rabbana means is that the Tana Rabbana means how would I know that? Why would Chazal bring these out? So I claim that. The very fact that Hillel is the person who introduces the Midas, we see it in Pesachim, Hillel, allows debate. So the fact that Hillel introduces the Midas, right, on the basis of Midas, it allows me to rationally persuade a person, to prove something to a person. Those are the three mice of Hillel. I can't go through them in detail, but I think it's actually each mice a little bit different, right? One mice is that, in other words, there has to be a Torah Shmi'al Peh. Because, whatever, each mice is different.
Each one brings a different aspect of...
A different aspect of logical persuasion. Right. But what they have in common is that Hillel's... So that's why Hillel created these formal models. Okay, that's what... It's very interesting in that there's a famous machlekas between Hillel and Shammai and Avos Da'av Nosson. Is that Hillel says you teach a Talmud even it's Edel Hagun. And Shammai argues on it. It's very, very interesting that Rabbi Gamliel, who, you know, the face-off with Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, in Brachas in the fourth parak, many times in Shas, we see that Rabbi Gamliel goes with Shita Shammai. In fact, Rabbi Gamliel had the Shita. The Gemara says that unless you're Teicha Kabbalah, you don't enter the Beis Hamid, into the Beis Medrash.
Even biologically, he's from Hillel.
Right. The fact is that they opened up the doors. So what is it? In other words, Gamliel is going to Shitasa. You only allow for the elite. Because the elite have a Messiah, they have a tradition. Hillel couldn't care.
Why is Teicha Kabbalah connected to authority and Messiah?
Because Teicha Kabbalah means is that we don't go by purely by logic, we go by personality. In other words, you have to. In other words, I don't accept what you say because of its logical substance. I accept what you say, who you are. A little bit like today. I accept who you say because you're powerful. What I'm saying is, in those days, you had a person, you were Tosha Kabbalah. So you're the type of person who can continue the Masada. What I'm interested in continuing the Masada, you need people who can be counted upon. But what I'm interested in logic, right? I don't think it's about just anyone. Because if your argument, is right, what about you, what type of person you are? There's a logical commensurability. What goes on there in the Gemara is a little bit parallel to what on here. History repeats itself. But in any case, that's the point I want to make. Yeah.
Halakha is not like Hillel because they have better logic.
What's the Gemara say? Why is Halakha like Hillel? I think it's going to give them a base, right? Yeah. In the Arabic, right? The Gemara says, why is Halakha like Hillel? They would let the first person speak first. Let Shammai speak first. Because why? Because they were very confident in their ability to argue.
But the Gemara stresses it wasn't because they were smarter or better in any...
They weren't sharper.
Right.
But no, Chazal could do the tfei, but Hillel believed that through a conversation, through two people, we can reach at a common conclusion that everybody agrees to. In other words, logic can bring us to a commonality of position. That's what I would say the Gemara would say. I'm not getting to the issue there, Basco. But I'm saying is that's what the Gemara says. Okay? In other words, I mean, I hate to devote so much time to Musa, but the fact is that the personality of Hillel, right, which the Gemara, which is a very, very large sugya in the Agadatas, in the Gemara, Laban Aleph and Shabbos, you mentioned, you give on the base in Elevin, the personality of Hillel is very much a function of the fact that Hillel introduces the seven middos. The seven middos are objective models on the basis of which people can continue, right, a logical dialogue, and I can convince you of something. And that's really what Hillel was. Okay, that's the point. Okay, fine. Now, having said that. What I want to just conclude is what a very important nakuda here, which is important. That we've established the notion of Masada, right? Yeshua must with the notion of Masada. But in other words, what is Masada? Masada is not a parakeet. It's repeating over something what someone said before that. But Masada says that everything has a logical basis. Even when there's a change of paradigm, the new paradigm rests upon the old paradigm. So in other words, Masada, the concept of Masada here, I learned it from my Rebbe. It doesn't mean I learned the same thing from my Rebbe. My Rebbe established the logical basis upon which I can construct this model, I can construct this meter. That's my Masada. Okay? Now, and that's what's called Masada. Now, the fact is that I also mentioned the second thing, which is very important, is that the middos are all agreed to. We don't see people arguing on middos and shas. In other words, we see people arguing on details of middos. We're going to speak about this, the details. But in other words, we don't see that person is coming for the Gzeira Shava. It could possibly be the Gemara says, for example, Tess and Shabbos, he has another Gzeira, but no one says, I don't believe in a Gzeira Shava. No. That's a different, but the Kalapra the Kalapra is just a different ways of learning the same thing. We'll speak about that. That's in Chavav and in Shmuel. So think about that.
So you're saying nobody argues about the concept of their own.
Right. No one says I don't recognize Gzeira Shava. I don't recognize that. Otherwise, each one is a different way of dashing that. For example, a ribu mito miyot or ribu mito riba or kal katan plow. That's how we give Rabbi Shmuel. But in other words, basically they are different versions of the same mita. But in other words, the mita is something which is agreed upon in Shas. It's very interesting. No one's kaifer the kabbal chayma. No one is kaifer in a Gzeira Shava. No, it's clear from the beginning out. But the beginning out was said, like, everybody agrees to it.
Something not even Chumash, right?
Right, everybody. All I'm saying is that middos is one of the things that's agreed to. No one says I don't win because they have a shava. Which is very interesting, because what does the Rambam say in the Perush Mishnayos? In other words, how do we know something's a tradition? We know it's a tradition because everybody agrees to it. For example, the Rambam says, why is Ezra the people say that? How do you know it's others that Ezra like? Because no one says you take something else. The Gemara might prove it, but no one thought, then what? You take something else. So when you think about it, this notion that the middos agreed, the minister factor agreed to in Shas. No one's kaifa on Amida. At most, what you get is that the details will be argued upon. How do I make a Gzeva Shava? How do I make Kol Prat Klal? Right? There'll be differences on how to apply the Midas. But the actual Midas not agree, are not argued on. Even, in fact, in the price is there. We don't see that anyone's arguing on Rabbi Shmuel. Like, in other words, Hillel has 7 Midas. Rabbi Shmuel has 13 Midas. That's Rabbi Yisrael Levi has 32 Midas. But otherwise, it's not an argument. No one's denying that. In fact, everyone learns, all the Mephoshim learn there, that in fact, the Midas include other Midas. In other words, how much detail is it? In other words, what I'm saying is, the very fact that everybody agrees to the Midas, right, is, in other words, the standards used by the Rambam Perush Mishnayos is that since we see everybody agrees to the Midas, we see that they're Masoret, the tradition. Right. You see, the tradition, and that's an important point to make. What Hillel did was Hillel constructed a model, the former model, based upon a Hekesh. Mm-hmm. But once Hillel constructed this model, everybody agrees to it. So in other words, what does everybody agree to? Everybody agrees that the Gzeila Shava is the logical or the formal outcome of what is a Hekesh.
So it becomes Halacha
Let's clear things up, okay,
yeah.
Very sadly.
Yeah.
What Hillel did was create the formalism of the Gzeila Shava. The Gzeila Shava spent the last 2 shiurim of the Gzeila Shava rest upon the Hekesh. In other words, we all agree that this is the proper formalism which formalizes the Hekesh of the previous generations, and everybody agrees to.
But Rav Shmuel is now saying that the Midas agree, but no one before Hillel had this formalization.
No, that's right. But once I formalize something, everybody agrees. Why does everybody agree to it? Maybe someone says, no, I don't agree with this formalization.
Right.
Now, there is a Gemara which says, is a Hekesh Adif, or is a, exactly. Let's be a Alpha Base, or is a Gzeva Shavit. But that's a rule. So what I'm saying is the fact that everybody agrees to the things, right, means that everybody accepts the formalism of the Gzeva Shavit as being the logical continuity, right, of the Hekesh. Like everybody agrees that Einstein's covariant equations are the logical consequence of Newton's equations. In other words, so that's the element of Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Is that everybody agrees, since everybody agrees that this is the proper formalization of something that we already have, right, based upon Sephora tradition from previous generation. But of course, the formalization is due to Hillel. I think this is an important thing. In other words, the notion that everybody agrees to it, right, because the Rambam says things that people disagree. So this is what we're saying is the standard of what we call Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Let's put it this way, even in the words of the Rosh, in Midvayis, it's all right. It's as if it's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Okay, we'll stop here. From other close places, we shall lie in our Kodesh until next week. Kol Tov.